The issue first blew up back in July when County Board Member Catherine Metzger took aim at the County Zoning Department for failing to notify townships and cities about the proposed rule changes that had been drafted with the help of the Illinois Farm Bureau.
The lack of openness in this office was frustrating, and I only obtained the information for which I specifically asked for, nothing more.
Zoning Director Phil Dick said at the time, specific wind farm projects have broader notification requirements than a text amendment, even though the implications are potentially far more reaching for the basic rules governing all wind farm projects. Metzger also took issue with the Farm Bureau being allowed to draft a rules change without other stakeholder input. She retaliated with a proposed change for spacing and setback requirements from nearby residences that likely would have prevented any more wind farms from being approved. The county board instead sent the issue back to the zoning board for another hearing and more adequate notice to townships. Metzger lives just to the west of a wind farm.
And I must say that living amongst these industrial turbines is not what my husband and I envisioned when we bought our home and our acreage 30 years ago in White Oak Township.
After those hearings, there came a do-over before the full board on Tuesday. Wind farm representatives have, over the years, put forth noise studies and submitted testimony arguing for the adequacy of lower setbacks. Metzger didn't buy it, saying it does affect her quality of life.
I can attest that setbacks of 1,500 feet from a resident's home is not enough. However, the Zoning Board of Appeals did not agree. Therefore, the text amendment we are to consider includes shortened setbacks.
Board member Don Cavallini notes Livingston County voters just turned down a referendum on a 1,600-foot setback, with a no vote meaning 1,600 feet is not long enough.
I don't have a magic answer for the distance, but it would seem to me that there are quite a few people who feel that these setbacks are not adequate enough. And I guess I keep hoping that the wind farm company, if it is to be a good neighbor, would somehow be able to address this issue for people who have a deep underlying concern.
Cavallini expressed hope the wind utilities will modify the setback on their own. Catherine Metzger said she could reluctantly live with 1,500 feet. A bigger issue, and the one that drew her no vote, is what happens after a wind farm is old enough to shut down. Wind farm companies have set up these tall towers, hauled in on heavy trucks, and bolted to big concrete counterweight bases buried under the farmland. Some early wind farm leases left landowners with a big chunk of concrete merely buried after decommissioning. That's less the case now, and there is state law covering many parts of the industry, too. Wind utilities are supposed to set aside a reserve to deal with decommissioning, but County Board Member George Wendt joined Metzger in voting against what he worried is an inadequate arrangement. Wendt questioned whether the industry is viable.
There was about a 60-day period of time where the federal government didn't approve the subsidies to the wind farms, and all the wind farm companies quit putting them up because their analysis is they couldn't survive financially without the federal subsidies. And as we develop the rest of our resources, oil and natural gas, wind farms may become even less profitable.
And that, Metzger said, exposes taxpayers.
When these industrial complexes become obsolete, the townships and our county will require significant financial resources to decommission these structures.
Board member Susan Schaefer said the reserve requirement is $35,000 per tower. She thinks that's okay for now, but Schaefer is concerned inflation will eat away at the adequacy of the reserve to meet the cost of ripping out the cement and metal and recovering farmland with fertile soil. Yet Schaefer supported the text amendment, saying the issue is not forever closed. She said the county will get a second bite at the apple when wind farm projects become real proposals and not just possibilities.
If we don't like the decommissioning, we can send that back to the ZBA at that point in time and get more testimony and make our wishes known at that point in time when the special use actually gets applied for.
You might think that seeing windmills turning lazily in the breeze would not have any other impact. But the eye is fooled by the size of the towers. The big swooping blades have a fairly high angular velocity and turbine-caused bird and bat deaths are an issue in many parts of the country. Sending the text amendment back to the zoning board did produce stronger language about wildlife protection, and board member Victoria Harris approved.
They're looking at the relevant species and protections for the relevant species, and they're going to get feedback about that also to see if there has been any interference with the species that are relevant to this area.
Board member Lori Walrab had hoped for something a bit stronger to protect birds and bats, but she's pleased with movement on the issue.
I wish we had a requirement that the pre-sighting study be included with the application, and that the language about credible evidence was more definitive. But overall, I'm very thankful that these things have been codified.
There is also language in the local rules now about lighting and noise protection to avoid interference with wildlife. As the county was considering the first wind farm projects years ago, County Board Member Bill Casely objected to a lack of fire suppression. At the time, he said there had been serious fires in wind towers because the hydraulic fluid is flammable. Casely said he would still like to have fire suppression technology, but in the latest iteration of the special use permit rules, there has been some movement to address his worry.
At least here we have a coordination with the local fire department. We're making some progress. I'm pretty certain that a lot of our rural fire protection districts do not have the facilities and equipment to battle fires that are 150 feet in the air.
Board member Jim Solner reminded the board why wind farms became desirable in the first place, and it wasn't because of the Green Revolution or environmentally friendly energy. Soldier said the economic benefits of wind farms should not be discounted.
I wake every morning to the sound of wind turbines in Ellsworth. I live in that wind farm out there. And I know that the decommissioning issue will be an issue in the future, but we also need to remember that the assessed valuation in Dawson Township went from $13 million to $24 million because of the wind farm. And so that's helped the taxpayers in our township and overall in the county.
All of this is evidence that wind farms will, for some time, continue to be an evolving area for regulation. I'm Charlie Schlenker.